To Washington, on this, the last day of this year's Supreme Court session, three decisions from the eight-person court, one, the first major abortion case in 9 years, and in its ruling, the court upheld abortion rights. In a 5-3 decision, the court reversed a lower court ruling and overturned a Texas abortion law. The court also upheld restrictions that prevent those convicted of misdemeanor counts of domestic violence from owning a gun. And in a unanimous ruling, the court vacated or threw out corruption charges against former Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell. Dahlia Lithwick covers the Supreme Court for Slate. She joins us now from Washington. And Dahlia, start with the abortion case. It was argued back in March. We saw reporting suggesting it was just recently wrapped up. Tell us first what the Texas law required.
Sure. This was the famous HB2, the big omnibus Texas legislation that, as you may remember, in 2013 over Wendy Davis's filibuster went into effect. The two provisions of the law that were at issue today before the court were a provision that required doctors to have admitting privileges at local hospitals if they were going to perform abortions, and also that would retrofit any abortion clinic as an ambulatory surgical center. This becomes very, very cost prohibitive and would have had the effect. The two provisions, had they gone into effect, would have really taken Texas from having 40 clinics down to 10.
Yeah, not because it is the clinic said that they just could not abide by the requirements. But, you know, are you surprised at the decision? Most of the conversation this term has been about the absence of the late Justice Scalia. But a 5-3 vote suggests he wouldn't have made a difference.
That's exactly right, Robin. I think all eyes were on Justice Anthony Kennedy. He's been a tricky one on the abortion front because, of course, he was part of the majority of the court in 1992, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, that really gave force to Roe v. Wade and set up this undue burden test that we looked at today. But then he's also been in a later case that had to do with partial birth abortion in 2007, went the other way and voted with the conservatives to uphold the partial birth abortion ban. And so I think it's fair to say all eyes were on Anthony Kennedy back when this was argued. All eyes were on Kennedy today. And you're quite right. It would have been 5-4 with Justice Scalia.
Well, let's turn to the case about gun rights. This was about restricting people with domestic violence charges. Two men from Maine had these charges of domestic abuse. They were barred from owning a gun. What did the court say about their argument?
Well, the question was whether these misdemeanor domestic violence convictions can include what's known, and this is just the intention standard of the defendant, whether reckless conduct as opposed to knowing or intentional conduct can also sweep away your gun rights. In other words, it expanded the idea that it's sufficient to just act recklessly in a domestic violence situation to have your gun rights taken away.
What's the difference? What's the difference between reckless? What's the difference?
Robin, Elena Kagan explained it so eloquently from the bench this morning as though we were all seven. But it's basically the difference between wanting to hurt somebody and sort of knowing that the plate you threw – this is the example she gave – the plate you threw in a fight might crack and hit somebody on the head. So it's sort of you should have known that this was going to hurt someone that's reckless as opposed to intending to hurt somebody.
Okay. So these men were saying, hey, it was more reckless. I didn't realize what I did was going to hurt somebody. I should get a gun.
Well, more or less. And, you know, the interesting thing was Justice Clarence Thomas and Justice Sonia Sotomayor are the two dissenters. They could not agree on less things, but on this case, they both agreed that recklessness is not sufficient to lose your gun right.
Huh. But they did lose this decision, the rest of the justice voting that it is. Finally, former Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell, who was convicted on corruption charges, the court unanimously vacated and remanded the conviction. Now, he was supposed to serve prison time. He won't. But what else does this mean, this decision?
Well, this was important because it was unanimous. We had eight justices agree to vacate this conviction. John Roberts, writing for the court, was at pains to say, look, his conduct was tawdry. It was distasteful. He was at pains to say, you know, he was taking Ferraris and Rolexes and fancy ball gowns. And this is, let's all stipulate, this is yucky. The question is, under the federal corruption statute, whether this is sufficient to be a, quote, official act. And the Chief Justice and the rest of the court said, you know, just agreeing, as McDonald did, to have some meetings, to give some speeches, to, like, get people together, that does not constitute constitute an official act under the corruption statute. You have to have a narrower definition of the quid and the pro and the quo. And the court said today those federal statutes have to be read narrowly.
So he should not be feeling today his name has been cleared. Yucky is, you know, one word that you used. But it is not. It was not deserving of the prison sentence in their decision. Dahlia Lithwick of Slate on the final three rulings from the Supreme Court. Dahlia, thank you.
Thank you for having me.